Welcome to the Global Missions Podcast, a show for Christ followers who want to participate more effectively in God's work, both at home and to the ends of the earth. Visit us at globalmissionspodcast.com to find show notes, resources, and previous episodes. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by the Global Missions Toolbox, a new online collection of practical, trusted resources made for those who support global missions from home. Visit us online at globalmissionstoolbox.com to register for access to this growing collection of tools for senders. And now, here's your host, Rob Magwood, better known to many friends as Mags.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Global Missions Podcast. I am here with our co-host, Maddie DeSmit. Hi, Maddie.
Hello.
We have a great conversation planned for today. We'll be chatting again with Jolene Urlacher, and we're talking about mobilizing Gen Z. That's one of our emerging generations. But before we get to that conversation, Maddie, we've got some announcements, right?
Yes, that's right. It is hard to believe, but this is our last episode of season 8.
Wow.
So, I know, crazy. So for our listeners who might be newer, our typical rhythms for the podcast have each season running from September to June, which gives us a good opportunity to plan and prepare for the next season over the course of the summer. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that we like to prepare for the season ahead is by getting feedback from our listeners. So this summer, again, we'd like to invite your feedback and suggestions on the podcast. And you can do so by clicking the link in the show notes of this episode at globalmissionspodcast.com, and you'll be directed to our listener survey for this year.
That sounds great. We really appreciate the feedback of our listeners. It's one of the ways we can make sure that we are serving you well. And although this is the last episode of the season, Maddie, we actually won't be totally silent off the air over the summer, right?
Yeah, that's right. We'll still be sharing episodes, what we call encore episodes, every 2 weeks. And those episodes are a representation of a past conversation. We typically choose some of the more popular episodes or ones that we think are particularly relevant. Mm-hmm. It's a good way to catch up on an episode you might have missed or just be reminded of something you might have forgotten.
Right. Well, keep an eye out for those. They'll come every 2 weeks. And lastly, we have a special announcement, which really is bittersweet for our whole team here at the Toolbox and the podcast and at Send. This is Maddie's last episode with us as co-host of the Global Missions Podcast. We don't usually have sound effects on our podcast, but if we did, there would be this collective, oh, now, Maddie. We are so thankful for this season of ministry together with us. But before I say any more, however, let me ask for the listener's sake, why is this your final episode?
Yeah, well, it really is bittersweet. We are very excited about this transition. My husband, Dave, and I are expecting. We have a little baby on the way this summer. So we are very thankful and very excited, but it does mean a big change coming up.
Yeah. Well, we are absolutely delighted for you and Dave, of course, and we pray forward for God's rich blessing on you both as parents and for this special summer and as you continue to walk with the Lord and love and serve Him. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what the future holds as far as our paths crossing in the future. Mm-hmm. Maddie, thank you for serving on the Global Missions Podcast.
Well, thank you. It's been one of my favorite things to be a part of the podcast. It's such a joy.
We are grateful. Well, with that in mind, now we'll turn to our conversation with Jolene. Our guest today is Jolene Urlacher, who grew up as a missionary kid in Latin America, and we were just talking about this before we hit record, speaks fluent Spanish, but Jolene, we'll talk in English today, okay?
Sí, inglés hoy, está bien.
Okay, there you go. It's very gracious of you. Jolene has been studying generational trends for over 15 years now and has written a number of books, most recently a book entitled Mobilizing Gen Z, The Challenges and Opportunities for the Global Age of Missions. One of Jolene's earlier books that I'm more familiar with was entitled The Daniel Generation, which I would highly recommend. And we actually did an interview with Jolene earlier. In the show notes, we'll include that interview. That was episode 92, where we talked about three strategies for engaging the next generation in missions. We were talking about millennials that day, Jolene. Today, we go another generation beyond there. In addition to writing, Jolene provides regular training and consulting for churches and ministries and schools and businesses how to engage and develop the next generation. And she and her husband have twin daughters, live in North Carolina. Jolene, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be back.
Well, when I read the title of your book, I thought right away we're going to have to talk about this title, Gen Z. And of course, we're in Canada, Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to go with Gen Z. For all my Canadian friends, it's okay. We're just going to go with that. Gen Z is identifying a particular group of wonderful young people who are spread across the globe. And we're going to come especially to Jolene's book. But first, Jolene, in your book, you talk about global youth culture. I'd like to just start right there and say, when we use that term, global youth culture, what do we mean?
So, yeah, so what's so interesting with Generation Z is the shift that we're seeing from even millennials or Gen X. Whereas with millennials, across different demographic groups, we saw differences. So, country of origin, race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, you know, background, religious background, all those things could play into some differences among different groups of millennials. Whereas with Gen Z, we are seeing so many of the trends consistent across all demographic groups in North America, but even globally. Because technology is transmitting culture, we're just seeing this emergence of a global youth culture where young people globally share a lot of similarities to one another around the world. And I just highly recommend the globalyouthculture.net is a study by One Hope on just this emerging trend. So if you're interested in that, I really encourage you to just check that out because it delves into more depth.
Super.
On that topic.
Thank you. And Maddie will make sure to get that into the show notes too. It's just that here's the quick opportunity for me to mention, in case you're new, we keep show notes for each episode, and you can find that on the website at globalmissionspodcast.com. So Jolene, we come to this newer generation that we call Generation Z. How did you become concerned and interested, even passionate about this particular group?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so everyone knows, when we're saying Gen Z, we typically are referencing those born between 1996, give or take a couple of years, and 2010. So really those in their mid-20s down to very early teens or even a little bit preteen. So really our students today and recent college grads or young adults are a part of this generational cohort. I really became interested in generational trends initially with millennials. I was teaching at a Christian university, watching a lot of young people who had a call or a desire to serve God in some way. And I was watching them graduate from a Christian university, go into missions or church ministry, and really struggle and flounder. And I just became concerned. You know, I was watching them walk away from church, walk away from their calling, walk away from their faith sometimes. And became compelled to understand what was happening and how we could help support this generation. So I really began studying millennials initially. And then as Gen Z began to come of age, we realized a lot of things were changing. Adjustments we had made for millennials were no longer connecting with Gen Z. Something had changed. So that's really what fueled my interest in understanding Gen Z specifically.
It's changing quickly.
Yes, today. Very quickly. Yeah.
Well, you've mentioned already that window of time from the mid-90s, about 96 through to 2012, college students, recent grads maybe, and our teens as well. Tell us a little bit about this new book, Mobilizing Gen Z.
Yeah, so I've been doing training consulting with missions agencies and churches and schools for about 10, 12 years now. And it really was in the missions world and in the church world where we were seeking to mobilize young people for missions. I kept hearing the same questions again and again. And so Mobilizing Gen Z was a book that came out of just several years of lots of conversations and discussions asking these questions. How do we engage this next generation that is very different than previous generations, doesn't always fit our ministry models, doesn't always respond to some of the pipelines we have for mobilizing young people. So how do we understand them and seek to engage them in ways that are going to be meaningful to them? And that's really what inspired this book, is looking at how is Gen Z different and how do we engage them in global missions?
Mm-hmm. I so appreciate how you approach these emerging generations, millennials previously and now Gen Z, with an optimistic, hopeful tone, Jolene. There's no question, because we're different in some ways, and I'm a little older, I'm a dad, even a grandpa now, and there's a risk, I think, that we could just say, well, they're so different. How do we, how do we deal with this? And it's not in a positive sense, but you bring a positive tone to it, and that's what we hope we'll bring out today in this conversation. Let's just start with some basic characteristics. What is generally true? And we've got to realize these are generalizations, right? Yes. Every young person is unique and special. But what are the what are the characteristics of Gen Z?
Yes. And I think that's a good observation, that these are generalizations. And sometimes what we find is that the young people who are actually choosing to pursue ministry or missions might not fit all of these generalizations. And yet they are facing unique challenges because their peer groups fit these generational generalizations. So for Gen Z, one significant shift, and this we started to see it with millennials, but it is really firmly in place now with Gen Z, is how we determine what is true. So for older generations, most of us would have said proof is reality. So facts, logic, and reason are what help me determine what is true and what is real. And there's an absolute truth out there to be discovered if I just seek it out. For younger generations, especially younger millennials and Gen Z, they have been raised in cultures and education systems that have really swung in the opposite direction. This is the cultural shift that has occurred, where we're seeing a significant shift from what was to what is. Mm-hmm. And usually it's a complete rejection of what was, and we go to the opposite extreme. So now we're seeing this idea that perception is reality. So let me just repeat that, because this is really important. Proof is reality versus perception is reality. Mm-hmm. And younger generations have been taught, regardless of whether they believe it or not, they have been taught that emotions, stories, and experience are what determine truth. So be true to who you are based on your emotions, your stories, and your experience. So we're just seeing this is like the mantra of Gen Z. Be true to who you are, which ties into the next characteristic, which is individualism. Mm. So this is the most individualistic generation that we have seen in maybe forever, because they can individualize everything about their experience. What show they watch, when they watch it, how they watch it, you know, they're consuming even education in a very individualistic manner sometimes with virtual education. They can customize anything, and they can also choose their truth. They can choose their reality, and they're being affirmed in this, that they as an individual get to decide what is true for them. So it's really elevated the individual in a powerful way. Now, God can redeem so many of these things, and He is redeeming them, because God has created us as individuals. He has call on us as individuals. He has spiritual giftings. But what we're finding is that is how we engage Gen Z sometimes requires us to use a little bit different language, engage them as individuals first, as we draw them into community and relationship. So I would say those are a couple of the significant characteristics that we're seeing with Gen Z.
Really helpful. And both as parents and grandparents observe this too. I just think this is relevant to all of us in the body of Christ as we welcome these new generations and desire that they participate wholeheartedly, not just half-ish, kind of, sort of, but the full embrace. That's what we're really wrestling towards.
Yeah.
When we come to global missions, we want to relate this discussion to global missions. We'd like some of these Gen Zs to become goers. We need to talk about mobilizing them and helping them get ready. What advice do you have for us in churches about how to mobilize this generation? Mm-hmm.
So we know that this is a post-Christian generation. Most people say Gen Z is the first post-Christian generation in North America, which means that the average church attender for my generation, Gen X, would have likely been in church 2 to 3 times a week, Sunday and maybe a Sunday night or a Wednesday night. For Gen Z's generation, most average church attenders are in church 1 to 2 times a month. And so they are not getting the same exposure to just a global Christian worldview. They're not hearing missionaries. They're not hearing about missions, even if a church is actively promoting missions. They might not hear as much. Mm-hmm. So when you have a post-Christian culture where even Christian young people tend to have increased biblical illiteracy, they don't know as much about the Bible, they have less exposure to a Christian worldview, and many of them have very little understanding of missions, that presents the first challenge. And in that, they're also hearing a cultural narrative based on deconstruction, where we question and deconstruct everything, that would tell them missions has been linked to things like colonialism and subjugation of local cultures and all these types of things. I mean, I literally was just doing a training for Gen Z and millennial young people going overseas, and this was what they're saying they're encountering as they're engaging their friends. These are the conversations they're having to talk through. So even if they have an understanding of missions, trying to explain it to their friends or their coworkers is extremely challenging. So one thing we have to do at the very start is make sure that we're actually having honest conversations with the Gen Zers who are engaging with us. We need to be willing to answer their questions, the questions that they're asking about missions. We have to be willing to do some additional education and training on missions and have very intentional exposure to missions, missionaries, and other missions-related experiences so that they can get an understanding of what missions is that might have just been more innate for previous generations who were growing up in the church. So I think that's one thing. A second thing, as we're thinking about mobilizing them, is really stepping into, again, that emotion story and experience is so critical. When a young person's emotion stories and experience tell them something is real, something is authentic, something is of God, they experience it, that impacts them deeply. So finding ways to get them around missionaries who are wanting to invest in the next generation and share stories, getting them to engage actively in experiences with people who are missions minded are very, very important. And then engaging them as individuals, going back to that individualization. Mm-hmm. Young people today struggle to feel valued, heard, or seen. Because regardless of what they're good at or what their passion is, there is a five-year-old somewhere on TikTok who is better at it than them, or is exuding more passion or whatever. So when they have someone who sees them, hears them, values them, and speaks the truth that God has put over them, whether it's, I see this gift in you that God really wants to use, or I see this passion that God has put in you for this purpose, when we start to individually affirm the things that we see in young people, it can be very, very motivating in helping them engage with that particular gift in the greater body of God, Christ, and what God is doing. So those are a couple of key ways that we can mobilize.
It's also very helpful, you know, as you think about churches and perhaps schools to some degree helping to prepare Gen Z for engagement in mission, in this case, in global missions. I wonder whether we just need to really carefully think about the former models. We might realize there's a gap, but it means that the tool that we used to use for the Gen Xers or whoever it was might not be quite the right tool. Yes. They don't need more of what we had, in other words, but we need to rethink some of those things. I wonder if you can give us an example where you have really seen a church or perhaps a school really effectively engage in the mobilization of Gen Z. What has it looked like? Try and describe that for us.
Yeah, so one of the words that's used to describe Gen Z and how they learn is EPIC, or it's an acronym, EPIC Learners. They're EPIC Learners. So Tim Elmore talks about this, and it stands for E is for experiential, P is for participatory, I is for image rich, C is for connected. So again, experiential, participatory, image rich, and connected. Again, going back to that point about experience, story, and emotion, We want young people to actually experience what is happening. Mm-hmm. Second is participatory. This is key, and it speaks to how respect and authority and views on respect and authority are changing. Traditionally, we would have respected people or given authority to something or someone who had experience, education, title, and position. That's no longer the case. Young people have access to influence and information, sometimes even more so than the adults. They feel empowered, and they are in many, many ways. And so the way today that we earn respect or authority, the opportunity to speak into people's lives, is through relationship, participating with them in a relational way. And so participation becomes key. Young people are not sitting around waiting for their turn to have an opinion or to lead or to make a suggestion. They're used to being able to participate in a global conversation from the time they're 5, 6, 7, 8. And so we need them participating in this conversation about missions, about ministry, about what God is calling us to do. And to your point, sometimes it means saying, okay, if we just set aside what we're doing and we say, Gen Z, what is God putting in your heart to do? And then thinking about how are ways we build around that, the vision God's birthing in their hearts and participating with them in what they're passionate about doing, that can be really, really powerful. Image rich, a lot of that is role modeling and seeing it, having some sort of image, but then connecting with other people as they do it. So places where I'm seeing churches or schools be really effective is where they are giving a voice to the young people. Young people are sitting on missions committees. Young people are leading trips. Young people are helping envision what we're going to do. So they're getting to experience it. They're getting to participate alongside, you know, people with experience and maturity, wisdom who can help guide them. And they're connecting with other people as they're doing it. So that's where I'm seeing the best results as we're looking to mobilize Gen Z, is that they really are given a place at the table.
I appreciate you mentioning that courageous element. I think for churches, for example, you mentioned missions committees, and many of our listeners are serving on committees, Jolene. We've talked about this, having younger members come onto that committee and participate and bringing their point of view, not only in a formative way, although surely they will be formed by being there, but in a contributing way. And that's a bit of a tension and can be navigated with grace and wisely, I think, but really lifting their voice and letting them having a, have a credible participation in that. You also mentioned trips, and the podcast and the toolbox generally believes in short-term missions, where we believe we should do short-term missions well. And you've talked about it being experience, you know, this generation relating to experience and participating. Just reflect with us a little bit. Does that mean that short-term missions continue to be a good idea, and that's a way of experiencing and participating? Any thoughts on the short-term movement as it relates to Gen Z?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on the short-term missions movement. I think it is still a very, very powerful tool, but to your point, it has to be done well. And I think there are some really specific things we have to consider as we're sending Gen Z on short-term trips. So even how we're our purpose, how we are positioning those trips, who we're working with. There's a lot of factors that go into that that I think might look different from how we've done short-term in the past. But I think it's still a really powerful opportunity for Gen Z and the people that they will engage with on those trips. So I do think, though, that we have to be very, very thoughtful in that. I would also just say opportunities and experiences can happen in a lot of different ways. Young people can discover that they have talents, gifts, all of those things, you know, in a variety of experiential settings, local opportunities, regional things, even within the local church. We just see so often young people are not being given opportunities that would really allow them to take ownership and engage more deeply. So I do think reconsidering how we're engaging Gen Z and what opportunities we're giving them becomes really critical. When I've talked to young people so often, when they say why they're still at church or in a ministry, it's because they have a significant role that they've been allowed to play, despite their areas of needed growth. There's people still there walking with them and encouraging them, but they've been giving opportunities that has given them ownership. Yeah. So just finding what that can look like, I think, is in each, you know, each church, each setting has to kind of think about what is that going to look like best in our context.
Well, we want to probe exactly this a little bit more after we take a short break here. And so we've talked a little about the characteristics of Gen Z and some of the opportunities that we have with this wonderful group of young people that's growing up in our churches. In just a moment, we will look a little bit more at strategy for mobilizing Gen Z. Before we continue this conversation, we would like to share with you this week's featured tool that we hope will be helpful to you and your church.
Today, I want to share with you a tool meant to deepen discipleship through short-term missions. The Go Journal system includes a journey book for trip participants. This is a printed journal for goers to use before, during, and after the short-term mission. The Go Journal also includes a leader guide to help team members prepare and debrief their team. Lastly, the Mentor Guide is a free download to help a caring member of the home church support a short-term worker through hospitality and prayer. You can order the Go Journal for your upcoming trip, or you can download the free sample by clicking the link in our show notes or by visiting globalmissionstoolbox.com.
We are back with Jolene Urlacher, the founder of Leading Tomorrow and author of Mobilizing Gen Z, Challenges and Opportunities for the Global Age of Missions. And Jolene, just before the break, we talked about short-term missions just a little bit. I just want to mention some episodes from a couple of seasons back. It was episodes 68 through 71, and it's a mini series of episodes on how to do short-term missions with excellence. So I just commend that to our audience to listen to that if you're thinking about doing a short-term mission, and even if it's already planned for this summer for 2023, there could be some really helpful ideas on how to really create a positive experience that will have long-lasting benefits. And here we add this layer of how to include Gen Z. Jolene, what are some of the best strategies you think that we can undertake as God's people to help mobilize Gen Z?
So I mentioned a little bit already just that experiential participatory piece. And with the participation, I just want to highlight one thing that we're finding really, really important. If there's one skill we need to develop as we're engaging Gen Z, I think it's the ability to ask good questions and listen. What's happening with Gen Z is that they are exposed to so much information all the time that they are developing great skimming skills out of survival. They skim information to pick out what is relevant to them right now, what feels important to them right now. And that is a really practical skill that is just absolutely necessary in this age of so much information. The reality of that is that when someone is talking to them or telling them something, if it's not what they're choosing to care about at the moment or it doesn't feel relevant to them, it's probably just going to get tuned out a little bit. So what we're seeing is instead of being a generation that downloads information, as we would have seen in the past, where you go into a class or church or wherever and you download all the information from the expert or the speaker and take it with you, this is a generation that has to learn through uploading. Again, it goes back to that individual who kind of determines what their perception is and what feels like reality to them. And so when they can upload their own thoughts, their own questions, their own experiences into a conversation or discussion, it's where we're really seeing the best learning and growth occurring. Even as we're mobilizing Gen Z, often if they're feeling negative emotions about something related to missions or their engagement with a partner that they're doing partnership development with or whatever the case might be, they might walk away from that based on that perception of negative emotions connected with this experience of missions. But if there's someone there who has a relationship with them, who's willing to ask questions. Where is this emotion coming from? What is causing this emotion? How do you want to prioritize this emotion? We have a whole list of these types of questions in the back of our book on mobilizing Gen Z because it's such a powerful way to engage them. So as they start to process, they're not just taking in information, but they're actually getting space to process the information that they have, process their emotions. And when we can pair really good questions with active listening, which this is what's really hard for those of us who are a little bit older, is to just actively listen, which means I'm not thinking about what I'm going to say next. I'm not thinking about what they need to know, mm-hmm. but I am just making eye contact, seeing them, valuing them, which is so often what's not happening. I'm, you know, paying attention to their body language. And most importantly, I'm seeking to discern what God is doing in this situation mm-hmm. and in this young person's life. And then ask a follow-up question that helps get them a little bit closer to where I feel like God is trying to move them through this experience. So much of what we're seeing with young people who are actually engaging in missions, whether it's in local church or it's actually going overseas, it's mm-hmm. because they've had older believers, older Christians, trusted adults in their life who are willing to sit with them and have these conversations, who are willing to do life with them and ask questions and listen. If you do short-term or trips, or if you are doing some sort of service opportunity or outreach in your community, or even if they're serving in the church on your missions committee or somewhere else, to have someone who is debriefing with them, having conversations, asking them, how does this sound to you? We have this great idea at our missions committee, but do you think other people are going to enjoy this? Do you think they're going to understand what we're trying to accomplish? You know, just asking those questions not only becomes a learning opportunity for this young person and a way for them to process and actually move towards engaging more deeply, but it also gives us a lot of valuable information on what they're thinking. So really this, in our book, we have a whole section on strategies, and two or three of those chapters are just on relationship and coaching strategies, how to build meaningful relationships and have these types of coaching conversations, regardless of where a young person is in their engagement with missions, that help move them towards a clear biblical understanding of what missions is and how they are engaging with it. So that asking open-ended questions and actively listening are really two of the most powerful tools that we have.
That's really helpful. It's helpful to me as a dad too, because I've got two Gen Z children of my own, and really helpful advice. I so appreciated the way you brought out the multi-generational element there. And again, we talk about short-term teams. Can that be multi-generational? Can the engagement and the experience be cross-generations? One of the tools that we have in the toolbox is called the Go Journal for short-term missions. And part of that is to intentionally help build multi-generational fabric as a short-term initiative is engaged by a church, so that some of the mentoring and some of the good questions and listening is taking place by some of our veteran believers, while the experience is participated in by, across those generations.
That's so powerful. And I'll just highlight, the research tells us that those intergenerational relationships are some of the most powerful factor to even retention of faith, you know, in addition to walking out your calling and all of those things. So I really believe multi-generational is so key, and that often we need to focus on the few versus the many as we're engaging Gen Z. So having a few Gen Zers on a multi-generational team might be more effective than having one group of many Gen Zers with one or two older adults, you know, because it really allows for more of those touch points and conversations with people across different generations.
That's good advice. That's good advice. Well, we're teasing out a few of the things that Jolene has in her book. You can hear how practical this is and some of the other helps that are included in the book. And we've talked mostly for churches thus far, particularly for churches. Jolene, I'm part of a mission agency that also would like to not just sort of kind of welcome a few young people in, we would like to fully embrace the potential of these wonderful new generations, including Gen Z. And we know we've got to learn to do that. So if you were speaking to me, I'm the veteran missionary, I'm part of a veteran agency. What advice would you have for us? Has to be kind of quick, I guess, or brief summary. What would you want to say to the mission agencies?
The reality is we don't have a lot of Gen Zers who are lining up to go into global missions, at least from North America.
Right.
And the reality is that we have a lot of missionaries who have been on the field 20, 30, 40 years, like my parents, who have made significant sacrifices, have paid, you know, lots of dues, if you want to put it in those terms, to be where they are in ministry. And most of them did not go into missions to, as I've heard some people say, babysit North American Gen Zers.
Right.
Yeah. But the reality is that culture back home has changed. Mm-hmm. You know, culture here in North America has changed. And Gen Zers are in need of discipleship. They are in need of coaching and mentoring. And we are in a post-Christian culture. They're coming out of a post-Christian culture. So if we can take some of the cross-cultural mindsets, mm-hmm. the mindsets of wanting to disciple globally, and take those same perspectives and apply them to Gen Z, they serve us so well. Really, Gen Z is coming out of a different culture. So the same cross-cultural skills that we apply in other places serve us so well as we're engaging across Gen Z. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that some experts are predicting within 50 to 60 years, the church in North America could be extinct if something does not shift. Mm-hmm. So as we think about those numbers, mm-hmm. 4% of Gen Z having a biblical worldview and Gen Alpha on trajectory to even maybe be 2 or 3%. Mm-hmm. Those are numbers we can make some changes and sacrifices to address. Yeah. And God's raising up this remnant. And so making some sacrifices as we think about adjusting to really engage and equip this remnant for what God's calling them to, I think is a worthy consideration.
Well, again, your gracious optimism shines through. What I hear Jolene saying is the same type of mindset that we have had historically to cross geographic borders.
Yes.
We also apply with grace to generational borders.
Absolutely.
And that just fits. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. And with grace and a willingness to learn and sacrifice, like Paul, we do many things in order to win some.
Yes.
And we adapt, we learn, we listen. And similarly, we can do the same generationally as well. So a very positive word. And I hope this for our veteran missionaries, to whom we say thank you for your faithfulness. To all of our veterans, please do not misunderstand that it's anything other than appreciation and thanksgiving with the desire to extend that further and to bless emerging generations as we serve together. Jolene, I'd like to ask you my last question about speaking to the church. But first, I just want to ask if you have resources that you would recommend. And I'd invite you to talk just a little bit about Leading Tomorrow as well. Mm-hmm. Other resources if people want to learn more along these lines.
Yeah. So my website's leadingtomorrow.org. Mm-hmm. You can find a lot of resources there. I have a blog. I have a podcast. I actually have done quite a few podcasts on this topic in the last year with the release of the book. So if you really love hearing about this, of course, the book. The other thing I would just encourage people to consider is if you're not familiar with coaching skills or strategies, to really look for it. There's many, many seminars, books, webinars out there, anything you can find. I often recommend Keith Webb's The Coach mm-hmm. Model. A lot of missions agencies use that. But just finding some resources on coaching to help, you know, develop those skills even further since they are so relevant to engaging across generations.
It's really good. Keith Webb has had a significant influence on our organization as well, and commend his material to your consideration if you're out there wondering about developing coaching skills. And Maddie will make sure that all the resources that Jolene mentioned there are included in the show notes as well. Jolene, if some of our listeners would like to reach out to mm-hmm. Leading Tomorrow or to you, how can they best find you and reach you?
Yeah, so the website's the best place. You can send me a message through the website, so leadingtomorrow.org. I can also be found on social media, so Instagram at leading.tomorrow, Facebook at leadingtomorrow, or LinkedIn as well.
Super. Thank you for being available. As we close, I'm going to ask one of my favorite questions, Jolene. If you have the opportunity to stand before the missions committee of a faithful church, this group of people really wants to do global missions well, and the pastor is there as well. What would you like to say to that group?
Speak belief over what God is calling the next generation to do. So often what young people are hearing from us is not positive, it's not hope-filled, it's not inspiring. And when we can just set aside some of these things that are significant challenges and ask God to give us an understanding of what he's calling the next generation to, and then start speaking that over the next generation by giving them opportunities to serve, even if they're not completely ready, being the ones who walk alongside them, and just really being the advocates for what God is wanting to do in this generation. The future of missions is the next generation. Mm-hmm. Without them, mm-hmm. we don't have a future of missions. And so to be those congregations, those leaders, I often say, if on my tombstone is written, she advocated for the next generation and faithfully stewarded the young people God put in her life, I can stand in heaven before God. We are called to steward them. And so to just be those advocates, to speak belief over what God is doing in this generation, the enemy seeking to kill, steal, and destroy them, we are the ones who get to stand in the gap for what God wants to accomplish through them.
Oh, that is beautiful. Well, friends, again, the name of the book is Mobilizing Gen Z, Challenges and Opportunities, Both Sides, for the Global Age of Missions. Jolene, we appreciate so much your work to put this book together, and thank you for sharing with our audience on the Global Missions Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we are so glad Jolene joined us for this episode. We will finish off this conversation as we normally do by reflecting on our highlights from the episode. Megs, what's something that stood out to you?
Well, again, Jolene is just an amazing communicator, and she has tremendous information, hard to pick. The thing I'm taking away again, though, is the value of being intergenerational, multi-generational, instead of just focusing on one. And so this is very much for the body of Christ. It is not passing a baton and saying veterans or boomers or Gen X or whoever is ahead, you're finished and we'll just pass the baton and it's over. But instead, the best way to do it is to integrate and to share together and to have wisdom and experience flow toward a younger generation and to have their energy and optimism and new ideation come together. So I would say my big idea is the glory of multi-generational body of Christ.
That's so good. And I feel like my highlight is very similar throughout this whole conversation. A lot of the ideas that Jolene shared, it kept bringing me back to the importance of discipleship.
Right.
I think of this many practical things she included, like the need for Gen Z to be seen and valued, mm-hmm. giving Gen Z opportunities to participate in leadership and service, and even just being willing to listen and ask good questions. And to me, all of those ideas just look like doing life together. And that's an important piece of not only mobilization, but even just the strengthening of faith of younger Christians. So good.
Well, again, this is Maddie's last episode as our co-host. We're so excited for you and Dave and for your little one who will join you this summer. So with Thanksgiving, why don't you send us off? Last outro here, Maddie. Go for it.
Thanks for the opportunity. This podcast is a part of the Global Missions Toolbox. We hope you'll stop by our website to check out this online collection of resources, especially for senders, pastors, missions committees, and family and friends of workers sent to serve in missions. Join us again in 2 weeks when we'll continue to explore this grand adventure of being Christ's witnesses to the ends of the earth.